When I was 17, I went on a rebellious stint. I had my bad boy days. Parents in the room, bad boy days? Anybody? Come on, be honest. You all had them. I definitely, when I was 17, was like, you know, I just got to this place where I'm like, I'm going to do what I want to do, do how I want to do it. And I had this desire to go do something that I knew I shouldn't do. And it wasn't because I think it's sinful to just do this thing. It was because in order to do this thing, I needed to lie. I needed to dishonor my parents and break the law. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to be rebellious. I got to do this thing. And what happened when I was 17 years old, I went and I was like, I got to get a tattoo. And I got a tattoo. And again, if you're church or whatever, you know, people want to know, are tattoos, you know, a sin? I actually don't believe that getting a tattoo in and of itself is a sin. I think there's tons of freedom. But like everything around this moment for me was like, I knew I shouldn't do it. I had to lie about my age because you're not supposed to do that when you're 17. So I literally lied. I said my birthday was at a different time. And it was like I was a different person, and I just did it, and I just sat there. And then when I got the tattoo, like I came home, and my parents like, where were you? I lied about where I was, and then like I had to like hide from my parents and like get away, because like when you get the tattoo, like you know you're all wrapped up and it's bleeding, and you got to like put all this stuff on it to cool it down, and it's just a whole process. And so I had to lie and kind of hide from them. And ultimately, I got this tattoo. I was so like in this moment, and I was so being drawn by like this desire to rebel and do something I shouldn't do, that I got the tattoo on a place where if I don't want anyone to ever see it, then they'll never see it. Just don't let your minds wander. Relax. It's right on my leg, right here. Okay, it's right there, and I just did it because I was like, you know what, like it's a tattoo, but I knew deep inside, like I shouldn't, like this is wrong, I'm lying, like I'm doing this for the wrong reasons, my whole motivation on this is just, it's just off, it's just not the real and good thing that I should be doing. And so for a year, I hid it from my parents, I didn't say anything, and during that year, I felt so much internal tension. I felt so much struggle. It was essentially like at any given time, I was like bombarded with different voices saying different things, and I was having this internal argument all the time. On one hand, I heard this voice saying like, you got a tattoo, you are worthless. You are not an important person. Like, look at that, getting that tattoo, that says that you are just a total blank, a total mess up. Like, you are not valuable. I was just like, oh man, like you are going to be one of those people with a tattoo, and those people are this, 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 and this, and this. And I was just like, look what I did, look what I did, look what I did. And then there was another voice inside of me that was like kind of arguing with that, but it made me more confused. Like, no, like, dude, like, it's not that you're not a bad person, but you made a bad choice, and like, we can get through this, and there's like forgiveness. And then I'm just like, I'm listening to these two voices go back and forth in this tension inside. And essentially, like, the entire time, I was not at peace. I mean, I would wake up in the middle of the night like, oh man, my parents are gonna be so mad. Or I wake up in the middle of the night and be like, I'm a worthless person. Why did I do this? And I lived in that for a year. A year after it happened, I just got so overwhelmed with this tension in my life that I told my parents, I sat them down, I said, I gotta tell you something. I said, I gotta tell you something that I did that I know I shouldn't do and shouldn't have done. And they sat and they're like, oh no, what's this? And I said, it's pretty bad. And I told them, I said, I got a tattoo. And they kind of looked at me like, uh-huh. And they're like, well, what is it? And I said, well, it's from the inside cover of the Michael Jackson Dangerous record. And they were like, oh dear Lord, did you really? Why did you do that forever? I was like, yeah. And they kind of listened to me, and I was afraid, like, kind of what are they going to say, and the disappointment. And my stepmom goes, Joel, we knew the day that you got it. And I'm like, what? You knew? She went on to tell me that, you know, when I first got it, I was just in this rage, and one night I was talking to someone on the phone and I told him that I got the tattoo. And it was like the week I got it. And it was like way back in the ancient like times when like if you talked on one end of the phone, someone else could pick up the other side and hear what was being said. How many of you kids have never experienced that? Yeah, I know. Can you imagine that like everyone had to share one phone and there was no screen or pictures on it? Like it was just, but like, so, and they knew the whole time. Like, and I was afraid and I was blown away. And this is kind of a different message. It's not my point today. I was blown away by how much they loved me in the midst of that. But really what happened that whole year before is just this thing that I think happens for all of us. When certain things happen in our life, when we make certain choices, when we just constantly feel tension, and ultimately we lack what I'm calling peace. And what I called peace last week is this: peace is freedom from disturbance or war. Freedom from disturbance. And I could tell you that for certain, when I made that decision, that I was disturbed, that I was troubled, that life went, but it was turbulent. You know what it's like when you're on a flight that just isn't free from turbulence? It's like, ooh, and you just get nervous, and you're just like, we're going to be the one plane, that it's going to be the one. And then, like, literally, like, I just start sweating and, like, grabbing people's hands I don't know. And it's like, and that's what my life was like. That's not peace. That's not the way that it's supposed to be in life. And it was all because I made this one decision. Relationships were skewed. The way I felt about myself were skewed. I was hearing all these different lies. I was a mess. And what I taught you guys last week is peace is something that God has for you. Peace is something that comes from Jesus. And so in order to get peace, you can't look outward. You got to look inward, and you got to look at relationships, because peace is reached relationally. It's not something that's going to be like delivered from Amazon. It's not something that's going to happen in your life. It's something that you are going to gain through a relationship. And we know this: when we lose relationships is where we really lack peace. And other things will steal from our peace, but the way we find peace, the way we reach peace, is relationship. And the first place that you reach relationship, I talked about last week, is in a relationship with God. The scriptures say that He is our peace, that God is peace. And so when you have Jesus in your heart, you have the most important piece in this puzzle that we call life. And that is the first step. But what happens after you have the peace of God in your life is now you still experience, and if you're like me, turbulence, disturbance, a lack of peace, even when God is in your life. And I think there's many reasons why we lose that peace. But one of the reasons that I have conflict with me is because of some decisions that I make that invite with God another agent into my life that causes this disruption, that causes this tension. There's times in my life where I have this divider inside. I have this tension inside. I have this thing that separates me from me. I have this thing that makes me feel like I'm chasing my tail. And it's not peace. And at times when I get rid of certain things and do things I'm supposed to do, I'm okay. But then this thing, this tension, this divide, it comes back into my world and it causes disturbance. You see, the author of the book of Romans is like the most important theological book in the New Testament, the book of Romans, written to the Romans, the people that had what's called the Pax Romana, the time of peace. In the time of peace for Rome, the author Paul writes about peace, and he talks about how you gain peace. It's like it's supposed to be peace, but then he's like, let me use peace and show you what it really, really is in the most rich theological book, arguably in the entire Bible. And here's what he says. He says, the mind, or you and me, when we are governed by the flesh, is death. When we are governed by the flesh, we experience death. The word flesh here is a word that kind of wraps itself around sin. This word, sin. Sin is not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. Sin is the way we have become in our nature because we turned our back on God. We become sinners who sin. It's who we are and it's what we do. Our DNA got changed when we turned our back on God and we desired things with our flesh that God says are not good for you. And when you let that sin, the desires of your flesh, drive your decisions in your life, what happens is you experience death, separation from God, and separation from who you are supposed to be and who you are not supposed to be in your heart, in your life. When I sin, I experience this tension. The things I want to do versus the things I shouldn't do versus the things I don't want to do. Paul, before this passage in Romans 8 and Romans 7, he says, I live in this body of death that is driven by sin, and I'm constantly in conflict in my mind, lacking peace. And ultimately, when we let sin drive us, we experience disturbance, a lack of peace, and destruction. Come on, you know what this is like, right? When you do that thing you're not supposed to do, and then you walk around all the time, and you're like, I'm not settled. You might know this when you're sitting with some friends, and you got that thing in the back of your mind, and you're just arguing inside, and you're having the conversation inside with yourself, and with these voices that are telling you you're not important, or with God trying to lead you in the right direction. You're just like sitting there, and people are like, are you okay? And you're like, oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm just busy at work. But really inside, it's I keep doing something that's causing a lot of tension in me. Paul goes on, he says, the mind, when you're governed by this sin, is death, separation between you and God, between you and you, between the way things ought to be and the way things are. But he goes on, he says, but the mind, you and me, governed by the Spirit is life and, take a guess, peace. The mind, governed by the Spirit of God, is life and peace. So we have this tension inside of us that comes because some sin divides me from me, divides me from God. And when we let sin into our life, death. When we listen to the Spirit, life. Let me just explain it for you in my little football illustration here, a little telestrator. Some of you are probably a little concerned right now about the Buckeyes. You know, don't worry about it. We're fine. We're fine. It's one of those problems where it's like you have too many good players and you just don't know what to do. They'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. All of our lives, we're all this way. This right here, let's just say this circle, this represents our mind. This is my mind. This is your mind. What happens is when we accept Christ, when we say, I'm going to follow Jesus, then the Spirit of God, which is actually Jesus, who is actually God in a spirit form, he legit, true, and if you've never heard this, this might blow your mind, but the Bible says that now you and I become a temple for the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God moves into your mind. He moves into your life. And this is God's plan. Here you are, and now I'm with you, you're with me. But what happens is we go through and we have sin in our life, and then we make decisions to do things that we're not supposed to do. We know what those things are for the most part, and that introduces this other agent into our lives. And it's constant, right? So it's like me, and then it's like I got the Spirit of God, and then I've got sin in my life. And here's what ends up happening. The Spirit of God is speaking to me. He's got things to say. He's telling me which way to go. He's telling me things about life. He's trying to help me make decisions. But at the same time, sin comes in, and it's speaking to me. And when I've made a certain decision, then I'm sitting there and I'm in disturbance. I'm in chaos. I'm in this frustrating time where it's like, okay, this is the way like God wants it to be, but I brought this thing in and now it's telling me something, and then God's telling me something, and my experience is, and then when I'm sitting and talking to you and sin is in my mind, I'm not free from disturbance. I'm lacking peace inside because of some decision that I made, because of some state that my mind is in where it's just locked on sin. I've let that agent in, and now there's just this crazy, triangular, nasty mess of voices in our head that are just throwing us off, and what God says is not peace. A life, listen, the mind governed by sin is death, destruction, brokenness, confusion, emptiness, lost, blind, hurting. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace, freedom from disturbance, freedom from that inner tension. So the goal here is for all of us to get this guy out of here so that we can kind of move through this journey and letting the Spirit of God lead us and speak to us. Now, let me just kind of explain this in a little bit different way and explain this tension that I experience, I think you too. Because what happens is that when you think about sin and you think about the Spirit, they have voices. And you need to be able to understand what they're saying so you can understand what you're hearing and who you're listening to. And the voice of the Spirit of God is and always will be love. It says to you, I love you. You are valuable to me. You are important. You are precious. You are made by God. You are my son. You are my daughter. I will love you, hug you, embrace you no matter what you do. Now, where we get confused is we think sometimes, well, I did something wrong. Isn't the Spirit of God shaming me or causing me to feel this tension? No. The Spirit of God's voice sounds like this. The Spirit says, what you did was wrong. What you did was wrong. Listen to me to do right. I'm not here to reject you, says the Spirit of God. I'm here to connect with you. I'm not here to call you wrong. I want there to be a very clear distinction between your behavior and who you are as a person. I love you. Let's move through this thing and experience life the way that God designed it. You can already start to parse through this in your mind. When you hear a voice that is saying something other than God loves you or I love you, that is not God. That is either a liar. That is either a lie that has taken place. That is the voice, most likely, of shame. And the voice of sin. The voice of sin is shame. Here's what shame does to us, and here's where we really start to experience this tension. Where the Spirit of God says to you and me, I love you. What you did was wrong. You're not wrong. I love you. The spirit of sin and the voice of sin comes into our life, and it says this, you're wrong. Who you are as a person is not good. Who you are as a person is not valuable to God. Shame is not God's design. When you get to this experience where you are going, I'm a worthless individual because I did that, I'm not important, God must not love me, and you have that in your mind, you know that you probably also have sin in your life, which is lying to you about a very fundamental truth. You matter to God more than you could possibly fathom. But when you bring sin in, it breaks the peace. You see, the Spirit of God says, I have peace for you. I have life for you. Don't do that stuff. Do this stuff. I want to experience the life with you that you were designed. And then sin comes into our life and goes, you're worthless. You're nothing. You don't matter. That is exactly what I went through when I made the decision to say, I'm going to bring this sin right into my life. There's a story of a husband and wife that had everything. They had everything. They were happy. They were provided for. They had peace all around them. They had everything you could ever want. Any like toy, any like thing you could ever want, in your life, they had it. And so their life, they had food, they had a place to be, it was just beautiful. And they also had peace with each other. They loved one another. They were not at conflict. And they had peace in their lives. And they really didn't need anything. But at a certain point in their life, an opportunity came along that was so like enticing to this couple. They just were so attracted to this more, this different that they didn't have. And they knew that the thing that they were being offered would hurt them. They knew that it might really cause the rest of their life to break down, but they couldn't resist. They just said, you know what? They looked at each other and they made the decision to do that thing that they knew they shouldn't do. And as soon as that happened, their life started to fall apart. Their world was taken from them. They felt so much sin and shame, and they went through the same process that I went through, that they went and hid. They never came around the people anymore. They never went to meet with God anymore. They never had anything that they had before, and they started to fight with one another. Literally, the sin brought in this tension between them. It brought in tension between them and God, and it brought in this thing in their life where they went and hid. They didn't want anyone to see them because they couldn't even look in the mirror. They couldn't even believe what they had done. Now, you may not know that you know this story, but everybody knows this story. This is the story of Adam and Eve, the first couple, the first family. God came to them and said, you, here it is. You have me. You have each other. You have you. You're fine. The enemy came along and offered this opportunity for sin, and it was enticing. So they jumped at the opportunity. As soon as they did that, they, the Bible says, were overwhelmed with shame. Shame told them, you're not valuable. And therefore, they went and they hid. They hid from God because they went, God won't love me. But then God, after they had broken this one rule, he comes through just like the Spirit does in our life and goes, where are you? Because the Spirit of God is love, and the spirit of sin is shame. And when we sin, we hide because we're in conflict with ourselves. And the Spirit of God comes walking through the garden. Where are you? Where are you? And he understands, and he meets with Adam and Eve, and they understand that they have sinned. They say, we have sinned. We have broken your rule. And they tried to fix themselves by covering their bodies up because they realized that they had done something wrong. And God actually says to them, who told you that this relationship between you and I is beyond repair? Why do you feel so much shame? He literally says, where are you? Why are you hiding? I love you. The reason that they're hiding is because they hear the voice of shame. You're not valuable. God doesn't love you. Comes along and says, yes, I love you. Where are you? I'm here for you, and I will fix your sin problem, and I will lead you where you need to go. It's so interesting, isn't it? When I got my tattoo, I hid. I hid. I felt shame. I felt rejected. I felt like God didn't love me. Sin had entered into my mind and it just pulverized me. And the Spirit of God was in there going, no, 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 this is not what it is. This is not what it is. But Joel, Adam and Eve, every person in the room, when you bring this peace into your mind, you lose peace. This is the consequence. And so I have found that if you want peace in your heart, that you have got to make a decision to move something out. And that thing is, in fact, sin. The personal peace in this puzzle is for all of us to export the things that we're doing that constantly bring tension. Sinning less is the personal piece in this puzzle. That's where it all starts, where you go, okay, I got the Spirit of God in me, and then I'm going to bring this sin in. You just keep bringing in that sin agent. You're never going to be at peace. You're always going to be at conflict with yourself. You're always going to struggle between what the Spirit of God is saying and what this voice of lying is saying. And so if you want to like get to this peaceful place with God, you got to move sin out. The author of another book in the New Testament, he put it this way, and this is really, really cool. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a bunch of people that have huge faith in God, talking about these men from the Old Testament and women from the Old Testament that just, man, were a pinnacle of faith, since they all existed and they're watching us now, then we should try to do the same things that they did. And then he goes this, we are surrounded by all these great people that have followed God and love God, and they see us. Let's try to be like them. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. Easily entangles. This word entangle is exactly what happens in your mind when you have a sin agent in your mind. The Spirit of God and you and sin all twisted up in a mess of disturbance and a lack of peace. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Make the decision. It is going to trip you up, and that is not God's plan. He has a beautiful life for you to live, listening to the Spirit of God, running the race with perseverance marked out for us. Do you get the picture? Sin is the monkey on our back. When I was at, we're doing this workout the other day, we had to carry 45-pound sandbags on 5 400-meter runs. And everyone picked up these sandbags, and it was like, I watched the first group go, and I was waiting for my turn, and they came back, and they're like, dude, this is horrible with these sandbags. So then I'm running with the sandbag, and I'm like, man, this is really uncomfortable. It's like rubbing on my neck. It's like, it's very difficult. I'm like, I'm going to throw my spine out. Like, I'm like struggling. I'm like, move the sandbag to the other shoulder, then put it over the side. Then I'm like holding it like this. No way to run with a 45-pound sandbag is efficient. There's no way. It's just difficult. It just really develops the core, no matter what you do. And God's plan is not for you to go through life with a 45-pound sandbag of sin. He knows it disturbs the peace. He knows you need it out. Throw it off. It was so interesting when people went through like 3 rounds of running with the 45-pound sandbag. They're like, I can't do it anymore. And they just drop the sandbag. And then they're just like, dun, 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 dun. Just all the energy just floating, running the race the way that they're supposed to race without that burden. It's not just about throwing off sin. You know, you don't come to church and have the pastor say, stop doing that. It actually doesn't work. It actually doesn't work. It's actually bad to teach and say, like, you need to stop doing this, period. This is where, just stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing that. I mean, you have kids, right? Stop doing that. Stop doing that. What do you do when you want your kid to stop doing that? Give him something else to do. Here, just take this, eat this. Here, go outside and wait. I mean, I'm constantly trying to manipulate my kids. Please do not tweet that alone in a vacuum. I'm constantly trying for their best interest to get them to do something different, and I'm using something else that's enticing, that's better for them, to get them away from what they're dealing with. So it's not just about throwing off sin. Really what this is about loving God more. What's the more thing in your life? What is it that's going to drive you away from that thing that's a burden? Is a love for something. A love for something. A love for God. So I can understand this double-edged sword in this process of peace. You definitely have to throw off the sin, and you have to sin less. And the less that there is sin in your life, the more peace will be in your life. But really, the key to this personal peace that every single one of us want is to let the Spirit lead us. Is to let the Spirit lead us. Let the Spirit be out in front. Listen to Him, follow Him, and let Him lead you. Look what it says right after that in Hebrews chapter 12. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the Spirit, letting Him lead us, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. And what did He do on the cross to shame, scorning to sin? He scorned it. He basically took sin and put it in its place. Look at that. He told shame what to do and where to go. The Spirit of God is in you to tell you the truth, to tell you who you are, how God made you, how much He loves you. Sin is in there going to destroy you with shame, and Jesus is a professional at getting rid of shame. You've got to listen to Him, and you will start to experience a different life, a life of peace. The Spirit will lead you to personal peace. The Spirit of God, if you let Him, will take you there. And you will not be interested in that sin. You will not want that sin. Let me just give you some practical things that I think everybody needs to do to truly find the peace in the midst of this puzzle that we're all in. The first thing is this: you have to silence shame. You see, what's going to happen in your life and my life is as we grow, we're going to struggle with sin. There's going to be things that we want to do that we know we shouldn't do. There's going to be opportunities that are so attractive that we just go, I got to. There's going to be things that we think we need that are better than us that we know God doesn't want for us. And what's going to happen is that that sin is going to come into your life. And it's going to speak to you. And it's going to tell you that you don't matter to God. And you've got to tell that voice, to tell sin to shut up. Be quiet. You're telling me that I'm not important to God. You're telling me that because I messed up, I don't matter. That's a lie. Listen, you guys. You want to silence shame? You have to know some things about yourself that are true, that God teaches. The Bible says this. It says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. The Bible says that you were created in the image of God. The Bible says that God, when He made you, He started your heart out and He wrote down in your heart eternity. It says that He wrote eternity in your heart. God made you to last forever. The Bible says that God knows every hair on your head. The Bible says that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. The Bible says that you were paid for with a price of God's death. Nothing could be more valuable. You silence that shame. I may have done something wrong, but I still matter to God. He loves me. I look like Him. He looks like me. You silence shame by understanding that you are a son of God, that you are a daughter of God, and that when you misbehave and that misbehavior starts barking like a ravaged dog, it doesn't kick you out of the family of God. He is there always. You've got to silence this shame by understanding who you are and how much God loves you. Another thing you need to do is you got to shun sin. Another way to put this, you got to run from it. You got to run from it. You want personal peace? Who doesn't want personal peace? Who doesn't want to like sit in the meeting and be totally present? Who doesn't want to like sit with your family and be totally present? You ever had those moments that are supposed to be the best moments of life? I made a mistake one time. 2 weeks before Christmas, I had this interaction with a friend and it just went, what? I did something wrong and it was bad. And I spent all of Christmas Day thinking about that. And sin going, see, you're a horrible person. Listen, do you want to go through what God has to offer you with that kind of junk? You've got to make the decision to not import that into your mind. Some of you guys, you have got to build some boundaries. You've got to stop going to that place. You've got to stop interacting with that person. You've got to stop that line of thinking. And this is a very intense, long-term journey for every single one of us. But maybe today, you know that thing. What is it? That sin that's teaching you lies, that's making you feel the conflict, that's stealing your peace. What do you need to move out of your life? Move it out. Move it out. And the third thing is to see the Savior. see the Savior. Can I tell you, you know, when I grew up, I had this picture of Jesus that was just this kind of weak shepherd guy. It was like I saw a picture somewhere at a church where Jesus was like wearing a robe. And he had a shepherd's staff with a hook and he was holding a baby lamb. And I was like, who's that? That's Jesus. That's our Jesus. Listen, Jesus is called the shepherd, but when you start to look at Jesus, and I mean go to the Bible, read these historical texts that tell the story of Jesus. Jesus is the most gracious, the most loving, the most charismatic, passionate, intentional person you could ever experience. Jesus is the kind of person where the people that had the most sin wanted to be around all the time. In the beginning of his life, he sat with these sinners. They were drawn to him. You might think because I have sin, he doesn't want to be around me. When you start to experience how much he loves you by reading about him, by talking to him, by developing that relationship, you are not going to want that sin. You're going to want him. I promise. He's better than you've heard. He's better than you've thought. He's for you. You want to find peace in the puzzle? Let him lead you. Let him lead you. Let him tell you where to go. You know you have it in you. You know right, wrong. Just think the next time it comes along, if I go here, I'm going to be disturbed. But if I listen, peace. If I go here, I'm going to be disturbed. But if I listen, peace. That's the way God is. That's the way he's going to lead you and me. Let's take a minute. Let's pray. Father, this place that we live on, this planet, is a mystery. It's full of all kinds of weird agents that disturb us and challenge us and confuse us. God, you've given us a very clear picture to get rid of these things that we know we shouldn't do and to follow after you with all of our hearts so we can experience peace. I want to pray right now for those that are sitting in this room bombarded with a voice of shame. I pray that you would silence that voice right now. That they would sit here and they would be able to actually start speaking truth back to it. No, no, no. I still matter to God. He loves me. I pray for some of those that are just literally in the most tension they've ever been in because they got that sin decision, they got that pattern, they got that choice that they made, they got the behavior, whatever it is, and they're just riddled with disturbance. I pray right now that they would just see that picture of our minds and X-ing out the sin and that they would label whatever that is. That's what I got to get rid of. That's what I got to do. I'm trusting you, God, by getting rid of this to experience the peace of Christ. I pray that every single one of us, that our presence here today would be a beginning, a down payment, an offering, a letter of intent, God, that we actually do want to see you more. We want to understand you more. We want who you are to affect how we live our lives. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to do that together. Thank you so much that in the midst of this puzzle, we can find peace if we listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen.